Kyle Malin from the MERS newsletter. Kyle, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate you.
Yeah. Hey, no problem, Tony.
Earlier we were talking about former Representative Paul Scott. Yeah. And I don't necessarily want to talk about him in his case, but one thing I didn't mention that I read on the newsletter is that bashing the MEA and the unions in his district didn't work. Earlier this morning, we were talking with Jeff Birnbaum from Fox News Radio about you don't mess with the NRA, and I guess in the state of Michigan, you don't mess with the MEA.
Well, you know, the Michigan Education Association in areas across the state have a great reputation. And one of the things that Republicans found, especially in that district, which is southern Genesee County, is that people have high opinions of their schools. And when you have a community where they really like the work their teachers are doing and they're happy with what their students are doing in the classroom, you will find a lot of support behind the Michigan Education Association. And that's what you had happen in Grand Blanc, for example, where you got a community that's doing really well. People send their kids to that school, and they're very happy with their teachers. And when the Republicans tried to target the MEA in hit pieces and also organized labor, too, you know, Genesee County and much of this state has really made its middle class through the work of the union. When you start hitting that, you get a negative reaction. I mean, folks may realize that there's some changes and there's some sacrifices that need to be made by working men and women, but in general, they still like the idea of having unions, and they recognize the value that they have. And when you start hitting them in a real hard way, you'll get a skeptical reaction, and that's what they saw. In that particular case, they saw 2 out of 3 people supported the MEA, and that any negative attack against them was actually a blowback to the people making the charge. And, you know, it's interesting, and it's a good test case for Republicans as they go forward for next year, which will be a presidential election year.
What will and who will and or who will the MEA target next?
I don't think they'll target anybody, Tony. From looking on the ground, you're talking about recalls?
Well, not necessarily recalls, but is there legislation? Are there individuals that they'll be targeting?
And I think you'll see that next year. I mean, right now they're going to be trying to fight some of the legislation that's going on in the state regarding the cyber schools and the expansion of the charter cap, which you talked about before. There's also a bill that tells schools that they can't automatically deduct union dues from a person's paycheck, that the teacher themselves has to cut the check to the MEA, that the school isn't going to automatically do that as a service. That's a bill that's out there right now that the ME doesn't like because that really impacts how they collect their money, and it's an added expense and a hassle for them. So they're going to try and fight that tooth and nail, but I think that's going to be a failure on their part because the Republicans don't feel like they owe the MEA squat. So they're going to run that right through. You can be sure of that. As far as individuals, I do think that, they're at this point, the recalls, we're done with those for now. Just logistically, it's really impossible to go out and get recall signatures when it gets dark at 5:30 at night, and it's going to start snowing here on Wednesday, according to your weather forecast there. And, nobody wants to go door to door and get those signatures in that kind of weather. That's ridiculous. And so what they're going to be doing now, I mean, they've already sent their message. It's all about now raising money and get ready for the 2012 elections and hoping they can knock off enough vulnerable Republicans in competitive districts to regain Democratic majority in the House and put up a firewall for Governor Rick Snyder and the Republican Senate against any other type of legislation they find objectionable. So I think that's what the focus is going to be right now, Tony.
All right. Also, in the newsletter this morning, something we've talked a lot about is there are a series of bills that would have allowed for dissolving county road commissions.
Yeah.
They were taken off the calendar the last day of the session before the 2-week break for hunting. What's going to happen with those? I recently read how Eaton County is thinking about making some changes with their road commission.
Yeah. Well, on its face, it would seem like this would be a very easy bill to pass the legislature, giving the county commissions the authority to dissolve the road commissions and then just absorbing those duties in just regular county government as other states do. And it would seem like that would be a very easy thing to do, but the Northern Michigan Republicans are a no vote on these bills right now because they have good relationships with their county road commissions. They feel like they do a real good job. You know, when you get the further north you get, the less active their county government is in that they meet all the time. I mean, up there they don't meet all that often. And so when you've got a county road board that just specifically focuses on the roads, that means the county commissioners up there who probably don't get paid, and they're it's just more of a public service than it is anything else. You know, they got somebody else taking care of the job, and so the county road commissions do a service up there. But when you get down more southern, where you got large county commissions, and they're a bit more powerful, and they actually get a little bit of money, even though it's not a heck of a lot. I understand that, but it's like, why do we need them? What is the extra layer of government for? And is there a benefit that we're missing here? Because it seems that all it is added bureaucracy at a time when we got to be paring back government, not keeping it expanded just for the sake that it's there, right? So I think those bills do have a future. I think that they're going to pass in some form through the House and the Senate, and the governor will most definitely sign them because he's interested in paring back government. And I think in the legislature and those observing it, it's been kind of a question of, okay, what layer of government does the state go after first? Is it the township layer or the road commissions? And right now it looks like the road commission is winning. And, they'll strike either a deal with the Northern Michigan guys, or they just may have enough votes to pass it without them. I mean, they may just find some Dems to get them the 55 votes they need and just say, you know what, you guys just go ahead and vote no because you can. And, you know, just tell your county commissions not to dissolve your road commission, and the problem is solved.
All right, Kyle, before we let you go, you've had some time to absorb and chew on what happened in local elections here. Anything stick out in your mind?
Well, I'm going to be interested to see the work Jody Washington does in the first ward. You know, obviously Jody was a winner there over Lynn Martinez, who was backed by the governor. And Jody was, if not directly, indirectly supported by Carol Wood and that faction on the council. And so I'm going to be interested to see how long she remains kind of wedded to Carol Wood, if she does at all. You know, before she started running for office, she was actually a person in the public who would speak out in favor of Virge Bonaro at times at these council meetings. And, you know, she may snap back into that, or she just may be an independent voice on the council. She may not be like an Eric Hewitt, who was just with Carol and Brian and forming that consistent pack that was challenging Virge at every step. So we'll see what she does. I mean, she could be like Aylin Robinson and support Carol and Brian at every step and then go her own way after 2 years. But, you know, we don't know. And in the meantime, one would assume that it'll be just another 4-4 split on the city council, and Virge will have to just work just as hard to get his stuff through that he wants to get through.
All right, Kyle, and I know we never ask you your personal opinion, but I can on this topic because we've talked about it, but you were happy that the millage passed.
Yeah, I was, because, you know, there's more cuts that are coming, Tony, and it's because at the state level, revenue sharing is getting, well, it's eliminated, and now it's being replaced by something else where the city of Lansing is getting less money than it has from the state, less money than it's ever gotten before. And to compound that problem with a decreasing property tax value and less money coming in that way would have been absolutely disastrous. I mean, you think that the cuts that we just experienced with fewer police officers were bad. I mean, just the numbers don't work. And if folks think that there's ways that city government can cut that they haven't found out yet, you know, I just urge them then to go to their city council member or the mayor's office and bring those ideas with them, because there's cities across the state, Tony, that are having problems that they have to look at emergency financial managers. The state's already in Flint. They're looking at Inkster. They're looking at Detroit. They're all. It's a real problem, Tony. And if we don't keep up with this, we could be another victim. And so I'm glad that the voters stepped up and avoided this situation for our city, and to keep it as one of the better big cities here in the state of Michigan. Something we should all be proud of. Really.
Kyle Malin is the editor of Michigan's oldest and most comprehensive newsletter covering the activities of Michigan state government. That's the MIRS newsletter. Go to MIRSnews.com. Thanks so much.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Tony.